Economics and social issues largely took a back seat to terrorism and the war in Iraq during this week's Republican convention. Here's some of the pitch President Bush made last night for 4 more years.
I'm running for president with a clear and positive plan to build a safer world and a more hopeful America. I'm running with a compassionate conservative philosophy that government should help people improve their lives, not try to run their lives. I believe this nation wants steady, consistent, principled leadership, and that is why, with your help, we will win this election.
My colleague Robert Siegel has been at the convention all week, talking to delegates, politicians, and political analysts.
With me are E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times. Welcome once again to both of you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
First, reactions to President Bush's speech last night. E.J.?
I thought it was well-written in parts. It was certainly true to the theme of the convention, which is essentially if Bush isn't reelected, we're walking away from our commitments to the war on terror and everybody's in a whole lot of trouble in foreign affairs. I thought it was, on the other hand, a pretty flat speech. A lot of the ideas on the domestic side built up as the ownership society agenda are really retread conservative ideas, some of which Bush had proposed before: Social Security, partial privatization of Social Security, medical savings accounts, which are quite different from actual medical insurance, and so on. On the war itself, he gave a passionate defense of the war that was almost entirely abstract. It was a defense of freedom, in effect. It was a very different argument than the president had made for the war before we got in. How persuasive is it, what, putting yourself in the mind of a swing voter? I think it will reinforce the president's supporters. But I'm not sure how many voters it's going to move.
David Brooks, your thoughts on the president's acceptance speech?
Yeah, I thought it was quite good. I thought it was quite true to himself, on character, quite true to the mission abroad. But to me, the best part was the domestic policy speech, which was a little flat rhetorically, but structural, substantive, something we can talk about for the next several weeks, months, or years. Because what this president did has begun the redefinition of the Republican Party. This was a party that wanted to get government off your back for 30 years, and he came in and said, government is on your side. And some of the ideas are familiar, though that's not a problem for me. If they haven't been enacted just because they're not brand spanking new doesn't mean they're not good ideas. But if you go through the booklet they gave out, there's a whole list of programs which cumulatively really talk to a new direction for the Republican Party. There's increased funding for Pell Grants, for science, for insurance accounts, for community health centers, for hybrid cars. You know, the list goes on and
but,
on.
But
on.
With continued tax cuts and a big budget deficit, no, is any of that realistic?
Well, there are a couple things left out. Some of the big ideas, which I think are the most important, are just sketched out very vaguely. And the most important of those is tax simplification. Then the second thing they have to do is talk about priorities. You know, the Clinton used to have a million programs. Bush used to have just four. Now Bush, like Clinton, has a million programs. He's got to decide which are the most important.
EJ?
It was curious to see a president who has spent more money than Bill Clinton ever dreamed of, then calling for spending restraint and then putting all these programs on the table. The tax piece was very interesting because he punted. He said, classically, we need fundamental tax reform. And in January, long after the election, I will appoint a commission to study the question. I think one of the problems,
although
is,
in fairness, commissions are in very good odor this year after the 9/11 commission. It's a more positive statement in 2004.
He's blaming you for not committing political suicide.
By saying what he actually wants to do on taxes,
it's
precisely.
The Kerry campaign, the Carter campaign, the Garfield campaign, and the Hamilton campaign. Well, there wasn't one, but there should have been. none of them ever talk about the painful cuts they're going to require. That's just campaign season.
No, but this is
it's
a
true
tax
of Kerry as much as it's true of Bush.
Let's move it back from 1800 to 2004 here. Again. This morning, 144,000 new jobs were reported created in the past month by the Department of Labor. If President Bush is in a race with the economy and with job creation, is it winning or losing that race that determines the outcome of this election, or is it all about Iraq, David?
Personally, I think it's all about Iraq. The 144 number I think most people will take to be a moderate plus for the president. It's not a great number, but it's certainly better than we've had in the last couple months. But I do think, as both conventions emphasized, that Iraq and foreign policy are the key issue.
See, and I think one of the problems for Kerry in the last month is that while Iraq has to be a central issue in this campaign, it has been almost entirely about national security policy. And this convention told you that Bush wants this election to be about national security and terrorism and almost nothing else. I think Kerry's task in the next few weeks is to figure out how to push this campaign toward domestic issues and economic issues much more than it's been.
Now more about the whole convention this week and high points, low points, higher and lower points. David?
I thought it was quite a good convention. I think if you take a look at the big speeches, the Giuliani, the McCain, the Schwarzenegger, Bush, and Cheney speeches, those are a collection of four very good speeches for people who turned in 1 hour a night. They got a pretty good show. To me, just as a sort of a wonky guy, I thought looking forward to the future Republican leaders was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Michael Steele, Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, did an outstanding job.
And I know that David left out Wednesday night, the night of Zell Miller, and he mentioned Dick Cheney. Acknowledge. And I thought that really created a problem here. I thought the first 2 days of the convention went quite well for them. I may be alone in this. I think I am alone in this. I think one of the most effective speeches was Laura Bush's speech, because she spoke directly to undecided swing voters, especially women, trying to reassure them that, no, my husband is not trigger happy. No, my husband doesn't just make decisions off the cuff. He walked on the lawn agonizing. But that Wednesday night, I think if Bush loses, one of the things we're going to look back on is that Wednesday night and that Zell Miller speech, which was utterly over the top and one of the most vicious speeches I have ever seen at a party convention.
My line, if the Democrats can have 6 months of Howard Dean, the Republicans get one night of Zell Miller.
There were some things said in that Zell Miller speech. I mean, nobody should call American troops in Iraq occupiers. Even President Bush has been referring to this occupation, that we were received by the Iraqis as occupiers, and the statement that John Kerry insists he'd never go to war without U.N., approval, something I gather he may have said 30 years ago.
He was 25 or 26
years old. There were 30 speakers, and you guys keep bashing the one Democrat. Why do you keep picking on Democrats?
He was the keynote speaker, and that was, I think, a ploy, putting a Democrat on to say the most incendiary things.
We wrap up with a short answer question. Who benefits when we have conventions? The party in the White House goes second. The party outside has the top half of the inning. Which is the better position to be in? Who played it better this time? David Brooks.
Better be the home team. Because they go second, because they exploited two vacuums in the Boston convention, which was overall a good convention. First, Kerry didn't define his Senate record in 20 years. They went in and tried to define that. Second, he didn't do much wonkiness, didn't lay out a policy agenda. They tried to fill that vacuum, too.
EJ?
I agree with David's critique of Boston. On the other hand, one of the successes of Boston is that it did indicate that the Democrats were running a tough and moderate campaign, which I think was helpful for them coming out of the box.
Well, thanks to both of you, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of The New York Times.
Thank you.